Let's speak together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The Apostles' Creed says, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. When God did what he did, God changed the rules. The rules said that when someone died on a cross, the cross was a symbol that no matter how royal they were, they died horribly. But Jesus came and the third day said, the crown you give me is no more. The robe that you laid upon me is no more. But I have done something new. And in that we recognize that God redeemed this symbol of death. The disciples and all those who saw him die upon the cross knew that Jesus was dead. They knew there was no hope because dead people stayed dead. They knew that. They knew there was nothing else for them to do. So in Luke chapter 24, we see what is starting to take place. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they had found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They knew what they were going to find. They knew that they were going to find a body there that day. In fact, other disciples recount the fact that they wondered, how are we going to get this tomb, the stone rolled away so that we can anoint the body? Because they had quickly buried him. A Sabbath was coming and they knew they had to want to get him buried before that Sabbath. The disciples knew what had taken place. There was no hope. That's what they thought. They thought there was nothing that they could do. Although we celebrate crucifixion on Friday, there are several scholars who point out the fact that Jesus said he had to stay in the tomb for 3 days. And in ancient times, and even today, they have special Sabbaths. This week was one of those weeks where Passover began on Wednesday night. And so Wednesday night through Thursday was a special Sabbath for the Jews this week, as it may have been several thousand years ago. So it's very possible that on a Wednesday, they laid him in a tomb. And all day Wednesday night, all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, the disciples, the women, knew that Jesus was dead. And for me, that's kind of comforting, because sometimes it's not just that you're discouraged one day. You're discouraged multiple days when it feels like there is no hope. All that they were trusting in, all that they were looking for, all that they thought was gone. And sometimes we do that same thing. We have expectations. We have ideas that we've maybe loosely placed on Scripture. We've taken the Scripture maybe a little out of context, try to stick it to our situation, and said, okay, this is all going to work out. The Bible says so. And it didn't work out the way we thought. And suddenly we are like those disciples. And day after day. But today was a different day. Today was that third day when everything changed. The disciples were discouraged. The only one who had the courage to do something were the women. Women, feel good about yourself. The guys were out hiding. The women were thinking, this has got to be done. We're going to do it. Because we respect and honor who Jesus was. So they got up early. And they went out to help prepare the body. Yet when they got there, they found nothing. Starting in verse 4, it says, and while they were wondering about this, and of course I would too. If you're going and you're expecting to see a body and there's nothing there, you're wondering what's going on. Suddenly two men in clothing that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day he rose again. Then they remembered his words. Sometimes we need a reminder of the words of Jesus. There is hope.
Sorry.
Interesting. By the time the women were heading out, Jesus had already become victorious. The grave had already been opened. He had already conquered death. And yet on the way out there, they thought they were in defeat. They thought they had lost, that Jesus had been defeated. And here's the good news. Sometimes when you think you're defeated, you're not. When your faith is in Jesus Christ, you are truly never defeated. I find it interesting that Jesus first used the women to tell the disciples. Because it says when the word came back, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Let me tell you something. When you're discouraged, sometimes words of hope sound like nonsense.
Excuse me.
Sometimes I think we talk about nonsense sometimes. Sometimes when people are grieving, we come to them and say, hey, they're in a better place. Well, you know what? They may be in a better place, the person who died, but the person who's standing there isn't. So sometimes those aren't the wisest words. In fact, there are sometimes, I'll be honest, they're really dumb. It seems like nonsense. But the truth is, it wasn't. It is what really happened. It says Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. God loved Peter. I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to do something. Sometimes that meant sticking his foot in his mouth. Sometimes it meant running. Sometimes it meant grabbing a sword and swinging at the first thing that was there. Only for Jesus to say, "What are you doing?" Here, Peter got up and he ran. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Sometimes we wonder what's going on. What's going on? What's happening? When we are discouraged in life and things aren't going the way we think, what is happening here? And somebody brings words of hope. We're like, it doesn't feel very hopeful right now. It doesn't feel very hopeful. I won't read the next whole section there, verses 13 through 35. But I encourage you to read it this week, later today, as two of his disciples are walking to a town called Emmaus. They're talking amongst themselves about what they've heard. How can this be true? It's crazy. And then a stranger comes up walking behind them and say, "What you talking about?" They look at him like, "Where have you been? What planet do you live on?" That my paraphrase of what they said. "Haven't you been in Jerusalem? Hasn't everybody heard what happened?" And they're like, "We thought this was the guy. This was the Messiah." And the stranger walking with them says, this is going to be Charles's paraphrase here, "You guys are clueless, you know that? Don't you remember what the Bible actually says? The scriptures taught that the Messiah would suffer, that he would die, but he would raise from the dead." And they're walking along and they're hearing these things. Excuse me. And they're wondering, how is this? And their eyes are becoming enlightened and they're starting to see what the scriptures say. And all of a sudden, they go to they arrive at the place we're going to stay, and Jesus, who actually was there, starts to look like he's going to go on, and they say, "No, come in with us." And they break bread, and Jesus hands it to them, and all of a sudden, that act of communion opens their eyes, and they realize, and boom, he's gone. And all of a sudden, the men who were tired and at the end of their day, so all of a sudden had new energy. Here's the thing, when we have hope, all of a sudden we have more energy. And they ran all the way back to Jerusalem and told the disciples, "You won't believe what took place." And then Jesus appeared to the disciples. Verse 36 starts off, it says, "And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And they were started on fire, thinking he was a ghost, and they said, 'Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt rise in your minds? Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I, myself. Touch and see. Does a ghost not have flesh and blood as you see I have? Actually, reach out, touch, see of it. Is it really real? Is it really me?" Anita, you said, "Lisa, it's such a nice place there for me. Am I real?"
"Yeah."
"How do you know?"
"I can feel it."
"You feel it? Okay. Jesus actually was saying, "Guys, don't just trust your eyes. Touch it. Feel it. It doesn't give. Your hand doesn't go through it. This is real." But he didn't just talk about that. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they did this, some did not believe. Because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. and took and ate it in their presence. See, ghosts don't eat. They think, well, maybe you could feel it, but when he ate something, it was like, okay, this was actually a ghost. It would just fall through. This is real. We've never heard about ghosts having to be able to eat real food. This is something new, something different. And he said to them, this is what I told you when I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of the Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And he opened their minds so they could understand scriptures. And he told them, this is written, Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witness of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus made it very clear, I have risen. There's something different going on. You have hope now. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus has been talking to his disciples, and we see in the beginning of verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while he's eating with them. Once again, he's eating. For those of you who like eating, guess what? After the resurrection, you're still going to eat. He gave them this commandment, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which he heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken before their eyes into a cloud, hid from their sight. And while they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white clothes stood beside them and said, men of Galilee. They said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back again in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus rose from the dead, showed proofs, and then it said, as he ascended into heaven, that he would one day return. See, Jesus didn't just die and go away, and now we're on our own. Hey, there's hope for something later on. Good luck. He promised he'd send his Holy Spirit to help us. He also said that he was coming again. And so we have this hope that Jesus is going to make all things right. We have the hope that no matter what happens in this world, God will make all things new. When Jesus comes back, he will make all things right. Some people may want to say, well, I'll just wait to see when Jesus comes back. Or if Jesus was so important, why isn't he just back now, taking care of everything? But I like what C.S. Lewis says on that. C.S. Lewis said, from the case of Christianity, God will invade. But I wonder whether the people who ask God to interfere openly and directly in our world quite realize what it'll be like when he does. When it happens, it is the end of the world. When the author walks on the stage, the play is over. God is going to invade, all right. But what is the good of saying you're on his side then, when you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream, and something else, something that never entered your head to conceive, comes crashing in. Something so beautiful to some of us, and so terrible to others, that none of us else will have any choice left. For this time, God will be without disguise. Something so overwhelming, that it will strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror into every creature. It will be too late for you then to choose a side. There are news saying you choose to lie down when it is no longer possible to stand up. That will be not time for choosing. It will be time for discovering whose side you have really chosen. Whether we realize it or not, now, today, at this moment, it is our chance to choose the right side. God is holding back to give us that chance, but it will not last forever. We must take it or leave it. And so today, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we celebrate the fact that we have hope, that no matter what has been happening in your lives, no matter how many days and days and days it feels like it's been taking place, we have hope. One day Jesus is going to come back. And our choice of whether or not we have accepted him or not will be revealed. My challenge for you today is to accept this risen Savior. Scripture says that if we believe in the Lord Jesus, in other words, we've made him Lord. We talked about that for the last few weeks. And we believe that God raised him from the dead. We will be saved. All the other details about our lives, he'll work out. But we need to make him Lord. Because whether or not we accept it or not, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead to prove that he is Lord. So choose today. Will you serve him or will you not? You are given this chance. As Lewis said, it will not last forever. But for those of you who have made that choice, there's a glorious song we're going to get ready to sing. Because he lives. No matter what happens, because he lives, we can face whatever's coming our way. If our singers would come forward, let me bless you. Dear Father, I ask right now that you would burn this message in our hearts that we have hope in you. And because you live, we can face whatever comes our way. In Jesus' name, amen.